This is a message from Embassy Church in Belmore, Sydney. We hope that it's a blessing to you.
We have a special Sunday today as we walk towards our Easter. It's Palm Sunday, as we've said. And today we've got three people who are coming to share their experience of what Jesus means to them, basically. So Pastor Ken started a series last week called It's really hard. It doesn't look like what I would say. When you said that, I was like, okay. What they said. Anastasis is probably what a Kiwi might say. Anyway, my bad. But what it means is to resurrect, but also to make stand, to make something rise. What we want to think about is, what has Jesus made stand out of your life? What has he risen out of your life through the power of his love, basically? We've got three people this morning that are going to reflect on that idea for us. So lots of love is required, okay? Yeah. Lots of clapping, lots of smiles. Lots of, you know, we can even say, that's good. Or, go, Alina. You know, what do you talk about loud now? Sorry, could we please welcome our first speaker this morning? Very, very lovely. Alina Riley. Sorry, I wrote my notes on my phone because I don't think I even own pen and paper at home. So. I'm just kidding. I did my wedding speech on my mobile phone as well, so shame, sorry. I'm Alina, for those of you who don't know me. I play bass here sometimes as well, and I've been attending here for about a year. Before that, I grew up in another church my whole life, so parents taught me to love God and love Jesus my whole life, so I've always been in the church and I guess I've always been Christian, you could say. So what Jesus' death and resurrection means to me, if I had to say, I would think that Jesus' death and resurrection and Easter is probably one of the most important occasions for Christians, but I think it was one of the most important events in history. The life of Jesus is really important because it shows that he lived an everyday life just like us, and he proved his experiences in life just like us. He went through, he was born in this earth, he lived a life, he was a child, he grew up, became a teenager, and then eventually died on this earth, a bit prematurely. The life of, he experienced pain and loss and temptations and trials, and I believe he did this so that we could relate to these trials and temptations, but also so that, I think he could relate to us and show that he could do it just like we do every day. If Jesus had died and stayed dead, I don't think we'd be living the way we live today. If he died and went into the tomb and never came out, I think we'd just be living like they do in the Old Testament, in chaos and basically horrible times. But he didn't. He didn't stay in the tomb. He rose from the dead to prove a point, but also to sacrifice himself as the ultimate sacrifice for us. Because if he wasn't resurrected, we would be living, like I said, in the Old Testament times. We wouldn't be connected to God. We wouldn't be connected to Jesus. We'd be separated from God. We'd only be able to communicate with him through sacrifices, or through, you know, in the old times they had holy priests who were the only ones that could communicate with God, and you'd have to go and see them to be cleansed before you could even talk to God and speak to God. And we might not even know that. We take it for granted that you could literally just talk and God can hear you and you can communicate with him on the day to day. So Jesus's resurrection enables Jesus to make intercession for us and be our advocate before God. So when I was young, I was like, well, cool, Jesus died for us, but what does that really mean? Because we didn't know what life was like before he died for us. But if you did, it would be horrible because we wouldn't actually have God or Jesus to talk to, because we'd be separated from him. And that's what the resurrection is for us. It brings us together with God. It amalgamates us with him. I don't know about you. I talk to God every day. I don't, not just prayers, but I literally just talk out loud or in my head or as I'm driving or in bed, just talking to God all the time, constantly.
and it doesn't have to be, communicating with God never has to be a formal process. It's never just, oh, hang on, I have to like shut the door and get the Bible and put worship on and then talk to God. It's a daily thing. It's a, like, just like you talk to the person next to you is the way I talk to God. And that's, I think that's the way he wants it, as just a casual kind of thing. Obviously, you get to the point where you need to go a bit deeper for certain things. And when we're together, it's really good to do it as a community and as a church. But just your personal relationship with God is, it helps you stay grounded. It keeps you sane. It keeps you happy. It keeps you in connection with God. So in Psalm 18, verse 30 to 32, it says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." So what I get from that is that Jesus is our rock and our foundation. So, you know, those people you meet who just kind of go from place to place, person to person, their life's kind of falling apart and they're basically a mess, and you just know that there's nothing that they have built their life on. Their foundation is really, really not solid. It's the opposite. It's like a house on sand. It's just going to wither away when the water comes, when trials come, when storms come. But Jesus is our rock. I know it's a really good metaphor, but just think about you as a person built on a rock. If you get all the way to the bottom and you get, you know, when you hit rock bottom and you're absolutely at the end, at your end wits, it's God that should be there, not another person, not your job or your career or your children or whatever. It should be God first. I remember when I was young, I asked my mum, "Do you love God more than me?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And she had to explain it to me, and it makes sense because, you know, your parents will disappoint you, your partner will disappoint you, but God never will. So, you know, there's people that they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and when they break up, their world is over. You know, it's because they've put all their trust and everything in that person. So when I was younger, I used to do that with my friends and my family and things like that. There was always like a person I'd have to have as a constant in my life. But as you know, people let you down and there's not always constants in your life. But God is that constant that is the rock in your life. So when I was younger, I used to get really bad anxiety and panic attacks, just from stress and high school and life, I guess. But especially when I was in bed at night, it was just, obviously, once I was alone and all my thoughts caught up to me, it was really, really scary and I didn't know what to do. I'd always just get panic attacks. So I spoke to one of the pastors at my church and she was like, "Well, you need to talk to God in those moments and stand on the word and get closer to Jesus." And so that's what I did, because I think growing up, Jesus was always with me, but I never built that personal relationship with him. So I always read Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 before I went to bed, and I would always just talk to God, and it really helped me build my foundation with God. And then I got to that point where if ever trials came or troubles came in my life, I would go back to that moment with God that I'd spend alone with him, and I just knew that he was always there for me, and he was always the one holding me together and holding my mental health together and holding my physical body together. You know, like when you freak out about things that you have no control over, you just know that you can trust God with those things. So that's something that really, really helped me, was just getting close to God in those times. Because now, throughout my life, I know that when troubles come, even if I do freak out, I know that God's my rock and foundation. So I kind of had to overcome it on my own. No one else can do it for you. You know, Ken and Mandy can't do it for you. Rian can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself, which is really scary because, you know, when you're alone and your mental health is not great or your physical health is not great and, you know, you're afraid, it's a really scary place to be. But when you can trust in God and you can actually physically feel him there or you know, spiritually feel you're getting closer to him, it starts to become okay. So that's what Jesus' resurrection means to me. It means I'm able to do that, and we're able to overcome the things that come our way in life, because our relationship with God is a continual thing, and you should always be building a relationship with him, just like you would in a normal relationship with your friends and family. It should be an ongoing relationship with God. My relationship isn't the same as it was when I was younger 10 years ago. It's different now because you grow and you change and you evolve, but God stays the same always. He's our constant. His resurrection power is that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So the power that when you hear people say resurrection power, it's actual, like, the Holy Spirit power that raised Jesus from the dead. Like, his body wasn't there. They moved the tombstone. It was no longer there. So it was the Holy Spirit and the resurrection power. That's the same power that we have alive in us today that we're able to use, because God and Jesus have given us that authority to use. Because, you know, you wake up in the morning, you might not have that resurrection power energy, but it's there, and you just have to activate it. We have the authority to do that. So as God's sons and daughters, he gives us that ability. He gives us the knowledge and authority to, you know, move past areas in our lives that are dark or, you know, that you're struggling with. And yeah, that was my experience with the resurrection power of Jesus and Jesus, what Jesus' death and resurrection means to us. Because if he hadn't done that, we wouldn't be in the same situation we are in today. We wouldn't be at church like we are today. It would be very, very different. We'd probably be sacrificing a bunch of lambs right now. So. Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Very timely reminder for all of us after COVID, when I don't know if you've seen all the stats on how everybody's experiencing craziness with our problems after realizing it's just you, you know, there's you against the world for the last 12 months, yeah, or so, yeah. Thank you, Amanda. That's cool. Do you know what I really like about when you give one, like, a bunch of people the same topic? It's so fascinating that what God ministers to Elena out of his resurrection and out of the Psalms is so powerful, but will be different to you, different to me. So can I encourage us, as we welcome our next speaker, can you just start thinking for yourself, like, what does God's resurrection power mean to you? It's kind of why we're talking about it this morning, not only so we can be encouraged by others, but so we can start grabbing onto some stuff for ourselves, right?
Yeah.
What does the power of the resurrection mean to you? I'll leave you with that as we welcome up Angelo.
Paper, old school. I do trust tablets and I do use them, but however, I thought I wouldn't risk it today. Okay. For all of you who don't know me, my name's Angelo. Different life, different story. Mine was, I grew up with a religious background, but I won't be negative about it because it did give me an understanding of who God is. I was raised a Catholic. I had this reverence for God. I used to actually go to church all the time. Even when I left school, a lot of my mates, they just went on with their life, but I would still go to church. It was a sense of duty. Anyway, but what God placed in my heart in my early life, it allowed me to depend on Him, not depend on Him, but it allowed me to turn to Him when a crisis happened. Ree asked us, she said, ask us to look at Psalm 18. I started to look at that psalm and I thought, how is this psalm connected to the resurrection? And then I looked at what the psalm is, and it's a song, isn't it? Psalms are songs. And it's David's testimony. It's his testimony of his life. And if we look through this psalm, we can connect with that psalm. We can identify with that psalm because he starts out, firstly, I love you, Lord, my strength. For you who like looking up words and what they mean, love there means affection. And it's quite rare in the Old Testament, but in that particular case, he writes there, I love you. And at the end, he finishes with God's unfailing love. So there's a relationship going on there. We have a relationship with the same God, except we know about Jesus, the Son of God. The Lord is my rock. We heard a lot from Alina about rock and foundation. Funny about foundations, actually. We're building a house. So what's the first thing I made sure of? I got a bit of a technical engineering background, mechanical, so I made sure the foundation's going to be right. I rang a structural friend, and I said, Frank, I said, we're building a house, and they're going to lay the foundation. And what they do a soil test to see what kind of soil you have, what kind of movement you have, and then they put it into classification. There's some builders here who know all about this stuff anyway. I know there's a builder in the back there. Yeah, there he is. Am I correct? Class M, Class H. Yeah, he's not nodding. Well, that's what it says on my thing anyway. So the guy who did the soil test, he was a structural, he was also a structural engineer. And he said, look, if it was my house, Angelo, he said, I'd build it. In H classification, it came up an M classification, so they would have made the slab slightly narrow, slightly small. It's a slab, right? So they build a slab. They build a slab, and they do the thickness and the steel in the slab, and that determines the strength of the foundation. So we want a good foundation. And then I thought about, we're like a house. And Jesus, what is he saying? Put our trust in his word. Right? And your house will stand. So I made sure of that. That's so good, actually. Well, I thought I'd share that anyway. Love it. But actually, you know what? There is a fine clause in there. It says that if there's any cracks that appear in your house, well, that's because of the movement. You're going to get some cracks. But I know in Jesus, we're not going to have any cracks. We have cracks in our faith. Yeah, absolutely. I had one. And it started once when I was before I became a Christian. And in fact, when you read David's psalm here, it says, Lord, you are my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Look at these words. My rock, my fortress, my deliverer speaks of salvation. In you I take refuge. We turn to God to protect us. Shield, we think of shield of faith. Horn means strength and power. We just heard the Lima say the strength and power. We have that strength and power in the Holy Spirit. If we read through that psalm, we see David's confronted with death. He says, the cords of death were around me. And we can read his story, we see his story, and what happens is he's up against the armies that were against him, but he's also up against people from his own Saul and his army. Sometimes I find life's a bit hard and too much that even my kids turn against me, and even my wife sometimes. That was a side note. No, they're lovely, they are. But it feels like that. And my life felt like that. I before became Christian, and the other thing I wanted to bring out, what we have in common is a faith, hope, and love, isn't it? In a God, in the same God. Right. Anyway, my story. I came to a point in life where I felt my life was spiraling down. It was going down. How so? Well, you know, you're young, you go out, you start having fun, you enjoy life. You know, I had experience, I enjoyed going surfing, I enjoyed skiing, I enjoyed going overseas and all that stuff, having a great time. But then I started to put my faith in other things. I got involved in sales, and guess what? You start reading books on motivation. How to be this, three steps to this. And then I started to get into meditation. You know, they say sin is falling short of God, but there's a level of sin that just takes you further down and down and down, and you can become into kind of a bondage. And here is where I identify with David, cords of death, and it felt like that. Because I got into stuff, when I opened up to meditation, my life started to go downwards. How so? Because we have a different kind of enemy. We have an enemy that's called sin, which leads to death. And what's behind the sin that leads to death? Principalities, authorities, which is referring to the devil and his fallen angels. I didn't know it at the time, but I was feeling I was being pulled down and down and down. I felt alone. I felt afraid. I felt no one loved me. I was at that point. I'm not going to tell the whole story. That's how I felt. And like David, I cried out to God. And if you read that Psalm 18, you see God comes in. He uses all this imagery. He comes down from the clouds. And all. I didn't have that kind of experience. But I cried out to God, and his presence came in the room. And it was at that point that I experienced my salvation. My salvation. David experienced a salvation which was certain death, but I think my life, I may not have been standing here if it wasn't for Jesus Christ's resurrection.
Yeah.
And in a sense, he resurrected my life.
100%.
He resurrected my life. And how is it different today? Today, I still come, and I loved your testimony, by the way, when you shared on communion, going through those difficult waters, going through those trials. But it's different. I have a sure foundation. It doesn't feel that way at the time. My faith has cracks. But all of a sudden, the strength of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going, I can't do this. I can't fight. I don't feel like it, Lord. I'd rather go out and have a great time. You know, why do I think? And then I feel the Spirit say, come on, Ange. He waits. Sometimes I have these fights with him. And he just listens, doesn't say anything. And then he says, come on, Ange. And then softly starts to soften my heart. I turn and I repent and I feel his love. And then things start to look different. I start to see things from his perspective. And I may not have that answer, but his peace is on me and his love is on me. And like yourself, he brings you through, and the answer may be ahead. The answer may be later. The answer may be strengthening your faith. Do you trust me in this? Ange, when you don't understand, do you trust me? Sometimes, Lord, but yes, I do. Because you're always right. The Bible says so. But I do. I do trust him. And lastly, what does David say about resurrection? He says, he gives his kings great victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed. And that's us. We're anointed to do what God has called us to do. He gives us victory over sin and death because Jesus conquered sin and death. He rose from the dead, and we share in that victory. To David and his descendants forever. Interesting. He obviously had a revelation, or we know that God was going to say, that God said to him and promised him that you will have through your offspring kings that will sit on the throne. We know that that leads to the Messiah. If we read Psalm 16, verses 9 to 11. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because, listen to this, you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You can cross-reference that scripture in the New Testament where it says, when Peter got up and preached his sermon, he said, David foresaw the Messiah that would come. So David, the last thing, is hope. His hope was secure. So the 3 points that I wrote down, I'll leave this with you guys. I'll leave it with you. My first one is, our faith is in someone in which there is no comparison. You can put your faith in things that are out there or things of the world, but they do not compare.
That's right.
It's the faith in someone. It's a person.
That's right.
And that person is God. And we hear David's testimony. We hear the testimonies here today. My second point, Jesus is the epitome of God's love expressed towards us. None other more so than his death and resurrection. That's his expression of love. Because he's given us everlasting life. And that gift of love is everlasting life. And my third point, our hope is in God who always fulfills his promises.
Amen.
And our future resurrection is secure. How so? We have the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. You put a deposit on the house, you have a deposit. The Bible calls, that's pretty low, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is more than that. Anyway, he's like a deposit, isn't he? Our surety in the future. And of course, we read in 1 Corinthians 15, which they read out, about our future resurrection of our bodies. So we no longer have that war with our bodies, our flesh, and all that sort of thing. Our bodies, we get new bodies, isn't that great?
Yeah.
Have you put your order in? Okay.
We're still looking out, there's not allowed to share mics, and that COVID thing, like seeing the mic, we're figuring it out.
No, I'll put
one
on.
Okay,
I'll
just
use
it there, is that okay?
Yeah,
that's
all
we can. See the cars over there. Thank you, Angie, it was awesome. Isn't it cool to think that the power of God, like it blows my mind to think that the power that resurrected Christ from the dead is active in me, but isn't it cool to think that it's active in me even when there's cracks in the foundation, like that it's not when I'm not perfect. Like God is still active in your life, He's still doing stuff, and He still promises to complete the work that He started. So cool. Okay, we have our last speaker. She is pretty in demand, our last speaker, but she had been preparing her message for today, and then she got asked to judge a B-boy comp. Which is very important because this is a group of people that God is using her to bless. So we didn't want to be like, we'll just scratch her speaking because she's been working on it. But we also wanted her to go and bless her community, right? So Ting's been working really hard. So she sent us a video yesterday of what she would have been sharing with us this morning. I got to say, because our sound here amplifies everything, right? So you're going to get a little bit of jealousy in your heart when you see the background for which she lives. You should repent. You'll see where she stays in the background, and when you hear the little wave lapping on the beach where she's at, just try to focus on what Jesus is telling you, okay? Don't get distracted by beautiful Sydney, and don't get distracted by a little bit of Chris Brown in the background at the end, okay? On the go. Alright, can we play the video? This is Ting on our topic. Across the story of when
God, but you only have mindful of things of men. And Jesus said, whoever desires to come after me must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. This Easter, I really want to challenge everyone to pick up the cross and follow Jesus, and that you will have to lose your life. You really have to trust His way and give up and surrender your ways, and believe that His way is always happening in our ways. So this year, I felt God call me out of my full-time job to pursue my passion in fashion again, and I stepped out of the boat, and I really felt led to obey and to follow God's prompting, and because I trust that He's done it before and He will do it again, and I know that He's faithful. He's faithful in every small situation in my life.
That's right.
He is faithful. After everything. And I am just so grateful that Jesus was obedient to go on the cross. And He even mentioned that I tell you the truth, it is for your benefit that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. I'm so grateful for the cross. I'm so grateful for the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful this Easter. I really encourage your family to reflect and think about what Jesus has done for you, how He took you out of darkness, how He changed your life, and how He set you free, and how He broke every chain in your life. And as we continue to follow Christ Jesus, let's really surrender all our desires to Him. Let's trust Him. Everything, our dreams, our goals, our life, every small part of our being, I really encourage all of us to surrender and trust our Heavenly Father, because He is your Father.